All right, tonight we are going to be in Genesis chapter 32. So since I didn't get to preach this morning, you guys get it all tonight. No, I'm just kidding. No, that was such a blessing. And I kind of wanted Salvador to preach. And again, it has nothing to do with the youth leading praise, because I love it on the mornings that they do that, the first Sunday of the month. But I wanted to separate him away from the youth and get the idea that he's not just preaching because it's Youth Sunday. He's preaching because I feel like, you know, we meet once a week, and I feel like he is, you know, he has mentioned that he's called to preach and he's going on to college in Minneapolis, or somewhere in Minnesota. I think it's Minneapolis, but I'm not sure. But anyway, up in Minnesota to a Christian college. And so I just want to make sure that we give him that opportunity, because we do a discipleship thing once a week. But anyway, it was just such a blessing to hear him spill out his heart. And I've got to hear him a couple of times. Two or three times, and so, well, pretty much almost every time that he spoke, except for one, but anyway, it's a blessing. So sometimes it's hard. We are in chapter 32, and so sometimes it's really hard as a pastor to sit back and not have sermon ideas or sermon thoughts that say this, say that, or that's a good idea, that type of deal. But it was a blessing this morning to be able to just sit and take notes. Got to thinking, I haven't got to do that probably three times in the last 5 years. And so it was really neat to come to church. And yeah, we had talked about what he was going to preach about and things. But to be able to sit and just take notes, not knowing what the points were and things like that, was really a blessing to me. So tonight we are going to be in that passage in Genesis 32. We're going to start at verse 22. We're going to cover about 10 verses is all we're going to cover tonight. But I think there's plenty there for us to get and dig into. This is where Jacob is wrestling with God. And the whole point, and there's scholars have different views on this, but as we get into this, I want us to see what you feel like for you personally. What is this passage saying to you? Because I can read it, and I can take it two different ways. And you can hear it, and you can take it two different ways. And so that's what my prayer is tonight, that we would take it as God wants us to hear it as individuals. So let's ask a blessing on His Word. Father, as we do open Your Word, I pray, Lord, that we would hear from You. Lord, as You open Your Word, as you bring it alive tonight, I pray that we would just be submissive to Your Spirit as He begins to speak with us and teach us and lead us and guide us and mold us. Help us to understand what it is, Lord, that You truly want from us tonight. Help us to put all other things aside and just focus on You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Jacob, we hear this passage a lot. You know, everybody in here has heard it numerous times in their life. And it's him wrestling with God. And it kind of jumps into it. When you read it, he's getting ready to meet with Esau. And so he's kind of stressed out because of how he, you know, stole the birthright and all the different things that he had done, how he had mistreated. And Jacob means deceiver. His name means deceiver. And he truly was a deceiver. He had deceived so many people. He had struggled and he had strived with man and with Esau and with his father and with his father-in-law and just different people he had dealt with. And so he comes to a point here where he knows he's going to meet Esau in the near future, probably the next day. And so he is setting out to do this, and they're getting ready to cross the Jabbok River, which runs into the Jordan. But anyway, he's getting ready to do that. So in verse 22, let's begin reading. It says, "And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of the Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life was spared. We'll go ahead and stop right there. Now, as this passage begins, we know that because of what the Scripture says, we know there was actually a man that was there, a physical human being, according to the Scripture. Most theologians and scholars believe that person, there's two thoughts. One is it's an angel of the Lord, and the other is that it is the pre-incarnate Christ himself. It is God himself in man form. And so Jacob is at this point. He's sending everybody that he has, all of his people, his sons, his wives, his servants, and all of the things that he has, he sends them across the Jabbok, and he is left there alone intentionally. Why did he do that? It doesn't really tell us that he sent them across so that he would meet with God. It doesn't tell us that he sent them across so that that he would be the last one to meet Esau. It doesn't really tell us why he sent them across. All it tells us is that he was left alone on purpose on the opposite side of the Jabbok. And so we can only assume that we know why. Because of what takes place next, he is found, and it just says, he was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Many scholars believe that this wrestling, even though it was with this man, as it tells us, it was basically the same as prayer. It was a parallel of prayer. It was a man struggling with a man, but it was also a man struggling with God in prayer. He wanted a blessing. Now, a couple different things here as we get into this. We can ask the question, how bad did he want the blessing? And we'll get to that. But that's generally the question that we come to when we ask this passage, is how bad did Jacob really want blessed? And we're going to get into that. But let's start with looking at the fact that he chose to be alone. Took everything else out of the picture, all the distractions away, to where he is there by himself. And when you find out that he is there by himself, the only thing that he has left to confront is God. And this man comes and he begins to wrestle with him, and it says they wrestle till the breaking of day. And so Jacob comes to this point to where he is grasped onto this man physically. He has grabbed him, he is hanging on, they are wrestling. They say that of all the sports, they say wrestling is the one sport that takes the most energy. Because if you're not putting out total energy all the time and the other person is, you're going to lose. And so you have to be exerting energy all the time. And it's very stressful. And so they relate that to prayer. Because too many times, when do we lose in prayer? If that's a possibility, when do we lose in prayer? When we lose our focus, when we're distracted by something else, when our mind wanders, that's when we lose in prayer. How many times do we set back and we start out praying and our mind wanders? Does anybody else do that, or is that just me? Because I will get in my place and I will have things, close the door and I don't have my phone on and I'm sitting there and I'm kneeling down and I'm praying and I'm focused. And then the next thing I know, I'm thinking about a passage. How do I work this into the message? Wait, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be praying. And then the next thing I know, I'll hear a car go by outside and I'm thinking, well, did that car keep going or did it stop? And all these distractions come into my mind. And when we pray, if we prayed like we wrestled, or if we wrestled like we prayed, what's going to happen? We're going to lose. Jacob wrestled all night. It said he arose that night and took his wives, and then it says he did that until daybreak. And so they wrestled until daybreak. He was alone by himself. He chose to be. He set everything aside. He separated himself away from all distractions. But even then, he stayed focused enough in contact with the person he's wrestling with nonstop until daybreak. How long do we last when we pray? Man, there's times when I fell asleep praying. If our focus is really good, then we don't think about the time. But if we're just kind of going through the motions, before you know it, the distractions come, the tiredness comes, something happens to where we lose focus. Jacob was focused. So much so that come morning, come daybreak, he's still hanging on for the blessing. Now, if I was to ask, how bad do we want blessings? Most everybody in here would say, we really want blessings. We really want a blessing from God. But then we stop and say, we are blessed already. We are blessed with family members. We're blessed with houses and cars and food and friends and the church. And we are blessed beyond measure already. So are we willing to spend a complete night wrestling with God in prayer for just one more blessing? Are blessings that important to us? We would say yes, but there's times when our actions and our prayer life would say no. Jacob wanted this blessing so bad that he is still, come daybreak, he's still hanging on. Get this, it was not Jacob's idea to stop. The man wrestling with him until daybreak, he says to let him go. He said, let me go, the day breaks. So it was the man, the angel of the Lord, or God himself in man form, who obviously could have got away, but he kept wrestling. Jacob was not going to let go, even though it was almost daybreak. He was willing to wrestle right into daybreak. Are we willing to wrestle in prayer until we get an answer? So many times we'll come to God and whatever the prayer is, whatever the prayer request is, we will bring it to Him a couple times. And, well, he knows that I'm serious because I've brought this same prayer request for a week now. So surely I can go on to something else. But we should continue in prayer until God has released us. So many times we will, somebody says, would you please pray for me? And we'll pray for them one time. And other times we'll tell people, hey, praying for you every day. But are we? Are we so consistent and continuous in our prayer until God releases us? Or do we just go until we release ourselves? Jacob hangs on until this man releases him. That's what it comes down to. And so he's all alone. He's chosen to wrestle with this man through prayer, this pre-incarnate Christ, this angel of the Lord that is there. And it's that spiritual wrestling, whether it's through prayer or whether it's through some type of a spiritual battle, do we wrestle continuously? Jacob chose to. He chose to wrestle. He chose not to give up. He was so persistent. Are we persistent through time, like I talked about, just continually praying? Well, Steve, if that was the case, then I would have a list a mile long. I don't think so. Because when my heart is praying like we're supposed to, and God knows that it's not just, oh, I've got it checked off on my list. I go down through and it's Donis and the kids and the church and I've got this list like I'm checking it off. Then God knows it's just a list to check off. But when my prayer list is something that I am bringing to His feet and I am laying before Him and my heart is bringing it to Him, then He's going to know that that's my heart. And He will answer or release because He knows my heart. But if my heart is really not in it, then He might not release me until it is. And that's what happened here. So it's he was persistent through time, but he was also persistent through pain. There was difficulty. Here he is. He's wrestling. And you see athletes all the time that have a bone go out of place or tear a ACL or whatever. They're not going to continue playing most times. Here he is. He's wrestling. He's been wrestling all night. They touch his hip. And his hip goes out of joint. And he keeps wrestling. When I'm praying, when you're praying, and something happens, the first thing sometimes, unfortunately, is I use that as an excuse to stop. It draws my attention. If it's pain, if it's something that's uncomfortable, if it's a situation in my life that draws my attention, it's real easy for me to put my attention on whatever that is. As Jacob wrestles and his hip is out of place, he never loses contact with the wrestling. When we are in pain, when we're distracted, when we're hurting, we sometimes lose contact because we begin to focus on our pain. We begin to focus on our situation, the things we're going through. So he was persistent through time and he was persistent through pain. But I think what I like about this passage as much as anything is not that that I can learn so much about. Yes, it's technically, is it talking about praying? Is it talking about hanging on for blessings? I think it's talking about both, but you need to take it how God is speaking to you. I need to take it how God is speaking to me, because if my prayer life, if it mirrors Jacob's desire to hang on till it's answered, till he's blessed, then that's what I need to look at. That's what I need to work out for me. If it is him wrestling with God until he gets the blessing that he knows God has for him, and he hangs on until he gets it, then I need to make sure, if that's what God is saying to me in this passage, then I need to make sure 100% that I am not okay with just the blessings I've got. Because too many times as Christians, hey, I am so much more blessed than those people over in Ethiopia. I should just be thankful for the blessings I have. Yes, we should, but sometimes when we say that, we don't desire more blessing. God wants us. He tells us in His Word that we are to ask. We are to pray for the blessings of God. He is glorified when He's able to bless us. So whether it's through prayer that He's working on with me, and that was part of the week, whether it's through blessings, desiring more blessings of God in my life so that He would be glorified more. That was the other part of the week. And so like I said, this passage is for both for me. I'm not sure where it is for you, but the same thing has to happen. He got alone to where no distractions were there. He was willing to wrestle, and he was persistent through time and through difficulty. And then what happened? He was changed. When was he blessed? It was after the getting alone. It was after the wrestling. It was after the pain. But here's something that really jumped out to me this week. When he asked Jacob his name, and Jacob tells him, and he says, "Your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Now, that doesn't mean that he won. It just means he made it through. Because he did not win the wrestling match, because obviously we know God would have won that wrestling match. But then Jacob goes right on and says, "Tell me your name." And I always thought, man, he is really wanting to know. He is really struggling to know. He's hanging on, wanting to know this, the name of this man. But did you notice what he just missed in the last verse? He says, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, because you have struggled with God." He just told him who he was. You've been wrestling with God. And then you turn around and ask God his name. He was so close, and he was so focused, that he missed out on the fact that he said, "You've struggled with God. And you've struggled with men, and you've prevailed." And then Jacob turns around and says, "Tell me your name." And he answers, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" Because I think he could have easily said, "Why are you asking my name? I just told you that you've wrestled with God." But then it says, and he blessed him there. Now, it wasn't because of the wrestling. It wasn't because of him getting alone. But it was because God desired to bless him, and he wanted to know how bad he wanted it. Now, some people will take that and say, "Well, see, if he hadn't wrestled, then he would have never been blessed. But that would be basically like works. God desires to bless us. And through our wrestling, he still wasn't blessed. Through the getting alone, he wasn't blessed. Through the wrestling, he wasn't blessed. Through the pain, he wasn't really blessed. When was he blessed? After he was called Israel. So he was switched after the fact, after the wrestling, not because of, but in the process of it all, in the process of struggling with God, he was blessed. He was changed from Jacob the deceiver to Israel, the prince of God, or the one that struggles with God, the one that prevails with God. How he saw where he was at was changed. He went from this location right beside the Jabbok to, man, because I met God face to face, because I spent time with God, I even see the location around me as different. He changed the name of it to Peniel, which stands for I have seen the face of God and my life was preserved. Because, not because of the wrestling, but because of his time alone with God, he was able to see what was around him as different. He was changed from the deceiver he used to be to the one who spent time with God face to face. And he was humbled. He walked away with his hip out of joint and as he limped. And it says, therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. So the blessing came not because of the wrestling, but through the wrestling. It didn't come because of the spending time alone on that side of the Jabbok, but through the spending time alone. It didn't come through the touching of the hip, but through the process of it all. How he saw things differently, how he acted differently, how other people saw him act differently. The blessing shows up in so many ways. And so tonight, as we look at this passage and Jacob wrestling with God, and you tie that into your prayer life, it's not just because you spend time down on your knees in a certain place, in a location. It's because of the process of spending time with God. Because I can go to the same location. I can go to a certain room and I can shut the door and I can sit there and just let my mind wander and not a thing will happen. But in the process of that time, if I spend it with God in His presence, dwelling on Him, focusing on Him, staying in contact with Him, then through that process, I will be changed. I will be blessed. If it's that blessing that we're supposed to desire, it's the same thing. It's not so much the wrestling, but it's through the wrestling. Through your desire to wrestle, how bad do you want blessed? How bad do I want blessed? It's through the process of it. It's not because of it. So many times I think we as Christians, we want to put in the time and put in the effort and put in the separation, and because of that, then surely God will bless us. But you know how many people out there right now that go to churches that are not Bible-based churches, spend time alone, go on mission trips, do all of the good things, and never spend time with the Son of God? There's a lot. And if we were going to be honest, on any given Sunday morning, there are a lot of people that come to church here that I'm putting in my time, I'm doing the right things, but they never come with the expectancy of meeting with God. And if it takes any more effort than an hour on Sunday morning, then I'm not willing to wrestle that much. If I've got to separate myself from all the other things out there that are attracting the attention of my life, then I'm not willing to put myself in that situation. If I have to go through difficulty, if it's going to cost me things, if it's going to cost me business deals or relationships or things like that, then I'm not really sure I want to do that. If God's not going to answer between 10 and 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, I've got other things to do Sunday afternoon. I'm not willing to wrestle into the afternoon. When Jacob found himself wrestling with God, it was a process he was willing to go through. It wasn't easy. It wasn't short. It was actually painful. But it changed the way he saw everything. And it changed the way people saw him. It changed the way we look at him. How does your wrestling, how does my wrestling change us, change you, change me? That's my desire tonight, is just how bad do we want to wrestle? And are we willing to wrestle until we see the change? That's my desire. Is that I can remember watching the Olympics and the guy that would win, I don't even remember his name, he was a big bald-headed guy, and he was huge. And he had won a couple years in a row. And when he was done, when you looked at him, other than the smile on his face, you'd have thought he lost. He was so wore out. He had just wrestled and given everything he had until it was over and they raised his hand. I want to be that wore out in my wrestling to hang on to God so much, no matter what it takes. And we say that, but do we really mean it? Do we want to wrestle and hang on to God no matter how long it takes, no matter how painful it is, no matter how we have to separate ourselves? Are we willing to wrestle in prayer that way? Are we willing to wrestle for the blessings of God with that type of determination? If we are, it will change everything. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, as we look at this story tonight, I pray you'd speak to each of us as individuals. Lord, call us out to wrestle. And wrestle and wrestle. We thank you and praise you for the opportunity to do that. Because, Lord, it's all about hanging on to you and never letting go. In your name we pray. Amen.